A very good evening. Welcome along to the Score programme here on Highland. Coming up on tonight's show, Joe Boyle will be joining us to talk Finn Harps. A lot, of course, happening both on and off the pitch as we head into the closing weeks of the season. We'll be joining Joe shortly. Also in our club corner, in our soccer segment locally, we'll hear from Kildrum Tigers manager Johnny McGinty. They, of course, lead the way in the Donegal Junior League Premier Division after the opening handful of fixtures. Where we'll also be dipping into any showing, and our club focus this week is on Alia. Stephen O'Donnell is the chairman. He's also been speaking to Chris Ashmore. That is on the way soon too on the programme. Plus, later on, our focus in Gaelic Games is going to be on the ladies' front. The Donegal Senior Ladies' Final is on this coming weekend. We'll be hearing from the captains of both clubs, Sharon Conaghan of Glenfinn and Roisin Friel of Termon. But we are going to start with golf. And of course, if you're a fan of the sport, even if you're not a big fan of the sport, the biggest event in golf is on this week in Rome. It is, of course, the Ryder Cup. The pairings for the opening matches tomorrow morning were announced earlier this evening. Masters champion John Rahm is going to lead Team Europe out for the third consecutive Ryder Cup tomorrow. He's been partnered with Tyrrell Hatton. Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood are paired together on the opening day. And Shane Lowry has been paired up alongside debutant Sepp Skrata for the opening day action tomorrow morning in Rome. So it's all very exciting. Our regular golf reporter is, of course, Dennis Kerwin, who's in Rome. He's following the Ryder Cup. And a short time ago, he spoke to Highland's Jordan McDade.
Dennis, the Ryder Cup tees off tomorrow. How's build up been around the tournament?
Yeah, it's been terrific, Jordan. There's quite a buzz about here. And the one thing that is noticeable is there's quite a few American supporters. I think up to 8,000 of the 40,000 crowd are expected to be American, which is unusual for a European Ryder Cup. Of course, there were no Europeans at Whistling Straits the last time because of the COVID restrictions, and that in many ways probably contributed to the fact that Europe received a record 19-9 defeat on that occasion when captained by Padraig Harrington. So I think the Americans are going to have a little bit more support here, certainly than the Europeans did at Whistling Straits, and they could be quite noisy. But the foursomes pairings were announced for the morning, and an exciting set of foursomes we have as well.
And who are you excited to see play together?
Well, you know, I'll go through them with you. I mean, in our opening match, there's John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton, a fiery pair they are. John Rahm, currently world number four. And they're up against world number one, Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns. And they're going to be quite a formidable pairing. But John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton, it's alternate shot. So they basically will play every second shot in the opening foursomes. So, you know, they have a good chance of putting a point on the board early for Europe. Really exciting pairing for Europe in the second match, Jordan. You have Victor Hovland, the Norwegian, and the exciting young Swede, Ludvig Åberg. They're up against Max Homa and Open champion Brian Harman. And then, of course, our own Shane Lowry. This is Shane's second Ryder Cup. Shane will be playing a partnership with the rookie Sepp Straka, and they're up against Ricky Fowler and Colin Morikawa. And part of the reason they may have been paired together in hitting alternate shots in the foursomes, and this can be quite a significant thing, is they both play a Strixon golf ball. So it means that, you know, obviously they will be comfortable and familiar with the golf ball that they play in week in, week out, because they can only play one ball, it being alternate shot. And the last game is an exciting game as well, Jordan. You have Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood, the pairing that's now being built, Fleetwood-Mac, taking on Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay. So four very evenly balanced matches, and certainly a great opportunity for Europe to make a bright start as they bid to regain the Ryder Cup that they lost in Whistling Straits. And remember, Europe hasn't lost a Ryder Cup on home soil in 30 years.
And turn focus to Irish interests, Roy McIlroy, Shane Lowry. Shane Lowry, as you mentioned, it's his second Ryder Cup. What type of form are they both heading into the tournament?
Well, Shane Lowry, you know, a lot was made of Shane Lowry's selection, and I think it was rather unfair because, in fairness to Shane, Shane showed at the last Ryder Cup that he had huge passion for this format, and he is a player who wears his heart on his sleeve, and he will go out there and give it 110%. And thankfully for Shane, he showed quite a bit of form in the last few weeks. He was tied third at the Irish Open in the K Club, and he followed that up with a top 20 on his defence of the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. He had a couple of rocky weeks before that, but he began the season in reasonable fashion with, you know, he was tied fifth at Honda, he was top 20 at the Genesis, and he's had quite a few top 20s throughout the course of the season. In fact, in overall this season, he has had he's had a couple of top 10s, and you know, he's missed a few cuts, but he's a player who I imagine will put his best foot forward, and he won't be found wanting when it comes to having the bottle for this type of competition. Seth Straka, of course, is his partner, and Seth is a name that's not, you know, wouldn't be familiar to many people who would be golf fans on this side of the Atlantic. But Seth is a very talented player. He was tied 10th at the BMW PGA Championship recently at Wentworth, but he won the John Deere Classic going back only a few weeks ago. So he's in top form, and you know, he basically had a couple of second place finishes towards the end of last season on the PGA Tour as well, and he tied 7th in the US PGA Championship. So he's a player who is very, very talented, and he will be like Shane Lowry. I imagine he'd go out there and he'll be fearless, and I imagine they will make quite a formidable pairing, and I would be surprised, Jordan, if they didn't put a point on the board for Europe. And you mentioned, of course, Rory McIlroy. Well, Rory is out tomorrow. He's 28 matches for Ryder Cup, for Europe in the Ryder Cup, and he has won a total of 12, and he has tied 4. So he has a total of 14 points out of his 28 so far, a 50% strike record. So it just goes to show you how difficult it is to win a point for Europe. But Tommy Fleetwood was their star man back in Rome in 2018 when he paired up with Francesco Molinari to basically win every foursomes and four ball match. So he's you know, they could make a very interesting pairing. And I imagine if they do well tomorrow morning, they could well be left together for the four balls in the afternoon as well, Jordan.
And you mentioned earlier Team America hasn't won in Europe for 30 years, but they are the favourites after a record-breaking win at Whistling Straits in 2021. But is this anything to go off?
Yeah, I think it's a very, very difficult Ryder Cup to call. It's interesting from the point of view that when, you know, after getting that 19-9 hiding the last time in Whistling Straits, you know, when the markets opened for this Ryder Cup, America were long odds on favourites. But as the Ryder Cup has approached, their odds have shortened considerably. And now it's almost a take your pick of two, even money on both teams. So confidence in the European team has certainly increased over the last number of months, and hence their odds have actually declined. Now, usually at Ryder Cups, Jordan, the Americans arrive with the best players while Europe arrives with the best team, and that has traditionally been the way. I think the last time was the perfect storm for the Americans. You know, they won 19-9. Most of their players were at the height of their powers, while many of Europe's Ryder Cup stars were, I suppose, on the decline at that time. And I mentioned the COVID travel restrictions had a big part in it, so there was no noticeable European support, and the atmosphere at Whistling Straits was quite partisan. Things are different this time. We mentioned the fact that the LIV Tour has unsettled the American team quite a bit more possibly than the Europeans, and you know, we have a young, youthful side this time around. I mean, Victor Hovland is now one of the four best players in the world, and that's another point, is that the last time, Jordan, America had Europe had just one of the top 10 players in the world playing the Ryder Cup for them at Whistling Straits, and this time we have three of the top four. So I definitely think we've got a better chance this time around. I think it's going to be really, really close. And just like the Solheim Cup last weekend, don't rule out a 14-14 draw. It's quite possible. It hasn't happened that often, but it's certainly going to be close, I would imagine, and an awful lot closer than it was the last time. And this golf course is just made for the Ryder Cup. It's been set up specifically for match play. The 14th is a drivable par 4. The 15th is a difficult hole, water all down the left. So for the matches that go deep and finish up on hole 16, 17 or 18, I think we're going to see an awful lot of excitement over the next few days, Jordan.
Brilliant. That's top class, Dennis. It was a pleasure speaking to you.
Thanks a million, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Brilliant stuff indeed. Dennis Kerwin, he's going to have a great week, so he is, in Rome for the Ryder Cup. Hopefully, Europe can win this coming weekend. Let's now move to football, and Finn Harps will see out the remaining four games of the League of Ireland First Division campaign under the management of Darren Murphy. He took charge for last Monday's game against Galway following the departure last weekend of Dave Rogers. Tomorrow evening on Friday, Harps face Kerry in their penultimate home game of the season. The Munster men are the only side that sits below them in the First Division table. Well, this week on our Football Talk, I've been joined by former Finn Harps player Joe Boyle to discuss the happenings both on and off the pitch at Finn Park. A lot has happened, Joe, since the last time we spoke, and we were talking about playoffs at one stage. That's not going to happen now for Harps, but Dave Rogers is no longer there. Were you surprised in any way by his decision last weekend, were you, Joe?
Yeah, it was. When I seen the news on Saturday, I was quite shocked. Now, I didn't expect that. I thought, you know, there was four games left or five games left when you count the Galway game. And I thought, you know, he would have continued on. So I'm not sure what have happened in the background. I've not really been talking to too many people this week. But yes, I was surprised. And, you know, I'm disappointed for Dave because I really did think when he came in that there would have been a really, really promising season. And, you know, to think that a game on Friday night is going to be the bottom two in the First Division, you know, I would never have foreseen that at the start of the season, particularly for Finn Harps. You know, my worst case scenario is that you would have been in the playoffs. And, you know, that's where I really did. And I know we chatted the last time. That's where my thinking still was about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And, you know, it was disappointing to see how things have turned out in the last couple of weeks where there's been a couple of really poor results. And ultimately, whether that affected Dave's decision or whether there was other things affected Dave's decision, it is disappointing to see the results over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, it's a long journey back from Cove when you're after getting beat 5-1 and, you know, maybe going to Galway then after Galway getting one in the league on the weekend and playing them on Monday night might have been a bad time because I really did fear for the team going to Galway on Monday night that they could have been in real serious bother there going to Galway because they have been really, really impressive. And, you know, all credit, I think, needs to go to the management team where Darren got them organised and got them out on Monday and he got a result for them. So hopefully he's had managed to get maybe one or two training sessions in before Friday night and that he can get another positive results because, you know, this season against Kerry hasn't been all that great either. You know, we've probably picked up the lowest amount of points of any team against them. And I think it'd be really important that they, for everybody around the club, that there will be a positive result on Friday night.
Yeah. See Tommy Canning's back in the fold at Harps as well, coming in alongside Kevin McHugh to give a bit of support there to Darren Murphy. And that management group will be looking to get the group of players now and finishing the season, giving them a bit of a lift and maybe trying to get as much as they can out of these closing four games.
Yeah, and I think that's very important. You know, Tommy's been around the club for a number of years there in different roles, and he's a really, really good guy. I know he's just left Derrickview in relation to that club there where he would have had quite a few Donegal boys. Kevin has, you know, an unbelievable amount of knowledge with all the young players that have come through the system there. And again, Darren being there all season. And, you know, I think Darren does deserve great credit that it was only a 1-0 defeat down in Galway because coming off a journey from Cove and hitting the head back to Galway on Monday night. So hopefully the boys did get a day or two's rest after Monday night and they're ready to go now for Friday night against Kerry.
Yeah. But looking further down the future, Harps thought they had the right appointment when Dave Rogers took the role. It didn't work out the way that they done. So how imperative is it now that Harps make a proper decision managerial-wise going forward? And how early, Joe, do they have to do that?
I think when you look at UCD last week where they announced that William O'Connor is going to take over there next season from Andy Myler, they've moved early. They're going to be in the First Division next year. It's important that you can secure your players that other clubs don't come in and pick off the best players. And, you know, although Harps have been low down the league, you know, there's a couple of players there like Flood, for me in particular, would be one that I'd be trying to make sure I keep at the club there. I'm disappointed by it. I would know Dave Rogers and I would have thought the time he was a really, really good appointment. It was difficult because he was working off a really young squad. Then he got a couple of senior players in there. But just for one reason or another, you know, it was like one step forward and two step back at times, where, you know, you get a positive result, you get the crowd and get everybody lifted. And in fairness to the crowd this year as well, they did stick with the team and with Dave. And I think he did bring a huge positivity after the club being relegated. So look, at a big job in the board's hands, and in particular Ian Harkin's hands. But, you know, I do feel that they'll probably leave no stone unturned and look to try and get that manager appointed sooner rather than later. I know they've said that Darren will be in position now up to the end of the season, and I think that's important for the club and for the players. But please don't wait until the end of the season to start looking for a manager. You know, I think that work needs to be ongoing now at the minute, and try and secure a manager and get somebody in as soon as possible that they can put their own stamp on it, and starting to make sure that a squad comes in that, you know, can be competitive and challenging in that first division. Because we don't want to be spending year after year in the first division like what happened a couple of years ago. We need to get out of that, and no sooner than next season.
Yeah, and just saying that as well then, Joe, how important is it that a manager is put in place that, I suppose, basically they're from the area, they're from the Northwest, and they know the way football is here?
Yeah, that's to me, but I think it's more important, and you mentioned earlier, getting the right person. I think that's key. Look, at we were spoiled when Ollie was here, and I know Ollie had his critics and everything else like that, but, you know, replacing Ollie was always going to be difficult. You know, you look at people like Alex Ferguson, who was a club over a long period of time. Ollie was there for years, and it was always going to be a difficult. The next job was always going to be difficult, and you've seen how it affected David Moyes. So I would look on that as, for Dave Rogers, that he'll bounce back, he'll go to another club, he'll certainly get picked up. But it is important now that Harps get somebody in who fits where the club want to go and the vision of the club, but is also in a position where they can win matches. And the disappointing thing for me this season was there was too many matches where it was 4-0 or 5-1 or, you know, 4-1. We need to tighten up, because those goals columns, they don't lie. And to concede 69 goals that's a real, real concern for me. And you're not going to do well in any league when you're at that. You know, when you look at it, Galway United have only conceded 16. So that's the difference. We have to tighten up there. But more importantly, at the top end of the pitch as well, you've got to try and get somebody in there who can lead that line and can score. And when you go away from home, and particularly in this league, when you look at it, you know, UCD have come down, so that's a good one, but you're getting rid of Galway. So for me, that's a like for like, and you take the travelling there. You know, you're hoping that you might get rid of Waterford, but there's a possibility that Cork could be relegated. So it is going to be still a very strong Munster-based league, and you've got Bray and UCD, so there's no handy trips for Finn Harps in there. And that's a big thing that you want to try and make sure that you get over that hurdle of that travelling, because that's tough on players, it's tough on the club, and it's tough on a manager as well, because after a journey like that and playing a match, it's quite difficult then to get the players working in the next training session, because that recovery has to take place before you can get quality training done in your next session.
Well, Harps will obviously be looking for the win on Friday night against Kerry FC. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock at Finn Park. Tomorrow night, Friday, Kieran Cannon will have updates from that game here on Highland as from the kickoff time. We'll just step quickly into the Premier Division. Derry City still in the tails of Shamrock Rovers at the top of the table in the Premier Division. Derry taking on UCD tomorrow night, Joe, and it's a game that you would expect them to win, and expect them to win comfortably. But there was a bit of a setback last week when they lost points, obviously, in that game to Sligo Rovers. 5 points is now the gap between themselves and Shamrock Rovers at the top of the table. Is that slip last week costly enough to cost them a title challenge?
Yeah, you know, you're looking now at Shamrock Rovers possibly losing two matches, and, you know, that's going to be very, very difficult, because they've not done any. You know, last weekend was a big one where Shamrock Rovers were drawn, and then, you know, you were looking at Sligo and you were thinking, you know, you just need somebody now to nick up a goal. You were looking for Michael Duffy, or you were looking for somebody just to come and put one in, or one of the centre half to come up on a set piece and put it in there. That was a big blow. But, you know, they really do need to make sure that they get a big, big result this weekend against UCD. And UCD are coming off a result last week that I don't think anybody in the country could have foreseen, where they got a draw against Shamrock Rovers. So they'll be coming to the Brandywell full of beans and, you know, bounce in their step. And it's really important that for Derry's point of view and for Rory Higgins' point of view, that they get a positive start and try and put that game to bed early on, because they don't want to be running into the middle or the end of the second half and it's still level, because there's a chance that UCD will grow in confidence and, you know, they would have a couple of players there who could nick a goal. And if they lose another game, then Derry most certainly are gone. And when you look at St. Pat's getting beat during the week as well, you know, that's a big result for them, because Derry could have been in third position going into this match.
Yeah. Listen, Joe, as always, it's good to talk to you. We're going to have to leave it there. And thanks for joining us, and enjoy the football over the weekend.
Thanks, Oshie. Good night.
That's Joe Boyle speaking to me earlier today on the happenings around Finn Harps. And of course, once again, we will have live updates tomorrow night from Finn Harps against Kerry FC. Kieran Cannon will be in duty. 8 o'clock is the kickoff time. Okay, we're going to go for a quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll have more on the Score programme after these.